The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
We got a power struggle in Tampa? Is that what's going on? I don't think that's what's going on. We're going to talk about that in a few. A lot of people think that's what's going on. That's why you listen to this show. Right? Keep it 90. Give yourself some wiggle room, but keep it 90 at least. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. It's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. COVID has pushed back a game, but I'll do my NFL whip around in about 10 minutes anyway. In a little while, I'm going to get into also some college football because I was driving Feinbaum crazy today on First Take. I'll tell you what he told me I was crazy about, but I'm right about it. College football rankings. But anyway, straight talk. Let me tell you something. Ravens-Steelers game is moved to Sunday afternoon. Think about this for a second if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. All you've done is what you're supposed to do, right? You're an undefeated team heading into week 12. Suddenly you have a game postponed because the other team has COVID cases. Now, if it's an issue of safety, they feel like, hey, our locker room could be contaminated. We don't know. The incubation period of this thing is too long. And, you know, we have more positive tests than we realized, or we think many more players could potentially be positive. We don't want to transmit the disease to you. I get that. But if it's simply that the Baltimore Ravens are shorthanded because you're missing a couple running backs and a defensive tackle and an outside linebacker, give me a break. Let me tell you what's it. I'll read to you. The Baltimore Ravens at Pittsburgh Steelers game scheduled for Thursday, November 26th. It's tomorrow night. Has been moved to Sunday afternoon, November 29th. So the real game on Thanksgiving that we're looking forward to won't be there. The game time and broadcast network will be announced later today. This decision was made out of an abundance of caution. This has really been quite a phrase in popular culture nowadays. An abundance of caution to ensure the health and safety of players. Abundance of caution has come to mean it's not that we have to do it, but we'd rather err on the side of safety. To ensure the health and safety of the players, coaches, and game day personnel, and in consultation with medical experts. Okay, I can accept that as a reason, but let me just mention something. The Steelers had to move a game to accommodate the Titans, who apparently, as I recall at the time, broke protocol, right? That means they had to take their bye when they weren't expecting it. Now they play a million weeks in a row. This is an undefeated team we're talking about. Then they beat the Ravens, and now again they have to reschedule something. And look, the Steelers and that organization has been accommodating because during COVID, a deadly disease that has claimed the lives of 250,000 Americans, where more than 200,000 new cases are coming up a day, where there aren't enough beds in the ICU to accommodate all the new patients, right? I get it. It's serious. Don't mess around. And in the middle of all this, if you want to get through a football season, everyone's got to cooperate. And it's not going to be exactly fair. Some teams are going to get the short end. It's the way it's going to go. But just to be clear, the Steelers are the team gotten the short end. The Steelers are the team who now have had to move things twice, and it has nothing to do with them. And they're undefeated right now. The Steelers are in the middle of a special year. This is a special year. And, you know, this Ravens game, and I anticipate the Steelers will win, even though, look, they've played 44 times in this century. It's 22-22 heading into this year. I mean, this is it's the best rivalry presently in the NFL. And, you know, it has history, it has current stuff, recent stuff. They're both excellent teams, they're both proud franchises, multiple championships, all that stuff. So it's, you know, like, but the Steelers are having a special season. So 22-22 Steelers Ravens in the 44 meetings of the 21st century. And then the Steelers beat the Ravens going up 23-22. You'd expect the Ravens to come right back and beat them back. Right? It's that kind of rivalry. It'd stay even. No, I don't think so. No, the Ravens are going to be not at 100%. The Steelers have already beaten them. I think the Steelers are going to be playing with a real chip on their shoulder because they keep getting the short shrift. And then if they beat the Ravens, they got a Bills game, you know, coming up. Like, they don't have so many. You know, you look at that schedule, you don't see, like, boy, the Steelers should lose this game. Nah. The Steelers have a chance to go undefeated. They have a chance. It's week 12. They're going to be playing a depleted team. They're going to have a chip on their shoulder on Sunday. And they have a chance to do it. And if they do, they'll be what? The second team in the 16-game schedule era to go undefeated in the regular season? Don't forget, Patriots in 07 went undefeated. They were about to be anointed the greatest team in the history of American team sports, and maybe they would have deserved it until Eli Manning and the New York Football Giants had something to say about that. But the Steelers will be live. If they go undefeated, which, again, like, I would give them a non-negligible chance. Like, just because you're the way odds work, if you're 60% likely to win a game, and the next game you're also 60% likely to win, you have to multiply those two odds. So the odds that you're going to go undefeated in both games is only 36%. So when you do the math like that, the Steelers, it's not like a 50-50 proposition or even like a 60-40 or maybe not even a 70-30 proposition. But they're live. They're a live underdog to go undefeated in the regular season. And then when you look at the AFC and who's likely to be in the playoffs, other than the Chiefs, who would you say, yep, they're the favorite over the Steelers? They could be in the middle of a special season, this Pittsburgh team. Is there a power struggle in Tampa? Because that's what everyone's talking about today. Bruce Arians said out loud with TV cameras rolling that the Bucs offense comes down to whether, quote, the quarterback plays well or not. From his weekly radio show Tuesday night, quote, offensively, it's just a matter of each and every week if the quarterback plays well or not, and our job is to make sure he's comfortable and let him play well. Coach, what's going on with Tom Brady?
I don't think it's a confidence problem whatsoever. It's just still it's not lack of trust. It's just lack of continuity within the offense of the whole picture.
Let's go over Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. Is this about, as I keep hearing, Bruce Arians isn't crazy about the fact that Tom Brady has gotten everything he's wanted? He didn't want to let AB in, but Tom Brady insisted. Is that really what's going on? And now he's showing up, Tom Brady? I don't think that is what's going on. From where I'm sitting, and this is not sourced, this is me reading between the lines. It's just my analysis of things, okay? I haven't spoken to anyone who knows. I'm just telling you what I see. First of all, the Bucs, who are 7-4, we're supposed to be about 7-4 right now. If anything, you want me to be honest, they're a little better than I thought they'd be at this point. The Bucs were 7-9 last season. They have an excellent defense. They had a lot of offensive weapons. Their quarterback could throw for a lot of yards and touchdowns. Led the league in yards, threw for 33 touchdowns, but he also threw too many interceptions, 30 interceptions, gave the other team 112 points, so they were only 7-9. If you just replace Jameis Winston with a league average quarterback, starting quarterback, they're probably 9-7. So when Tom Brady got there, guess what the over-under was in Vegas for wins for this Tampa team? 9.5. Maybe that's me saying it was 9.5. Maybe Vegas had 10, but I think they had 9.5. The point is, it's not just another quarterback. It's Tom Brady, who, even if he was playing as about league average last season, you know, it's Tom Brady leadership, Tom Brady big on third down, Tom Brady, he'll get him to 10 wins. That's what the odds makers were saying. We think we're going to get even action. That's all odds are. Odds are the wisdom of crowds. There was a book called The Madness of Crowds, and an author, James Surowiecki, wrote a book called The Wisdom of Crowds, which was like a response to that, saying, hey, actually, the way stock markets work, and when a group of people share public information, but also each individual has private information, that group will come to a better conclusion than the smartest member of that group. Okay, you follow me? That's why it's tough to beat the NFL spread. Because the way the spread works, the way the odds work, are an odds maker sets a line where he thinks the casino will get even action on both sides of the line. Then the public bets the line, and then the line moves based on the public betting. So where it ends up is the wisdom of crowds, which even the smartest member of the crowd shouldn't be able to beat regularly. That's why the point spread is so hard for gamblers and stuff to beat. That's why you can go broke if you're just like a regular person without a lot of inside information betting a point spread. And the odds makers looked at Tom Brady and the Bucks and said 9.5 wins. Meaning they thought equal action would be on 9 wins and 10 wins, below and above. Maybe that got bet up to 10, I don't remember. But that's about where they were supposed to be. Because the fact is, Tom Brady, if he's above league average, it's not much. And we saw that last year in New England. And even the year before when they won the Super Bowl. This is the lowest scoring Super Bowl in history. He rode the defense and the running game. So, but this year, because the Bucs had all this stuff, I would say I'd take the over on the 9.5. I'll say 10 wins. Well, they're 7-4. They're 3 games above 500 for what that's worth. The way it's not exactly what it is, but the way we talk about it in sports, we call that 3 games above 500. Well, I think they're going to end up 3 games more or less above 500. 10-6, 4 games. This is not like something, we weren't expecting this. So what has Bruce Arians done? Why isn't it even more? Number one, Tom Brady's not what he used to be. That's number one. Number two, Bruce Arians ain't Bill Belichick. Tom Brady is now seeing how, not the other half lives, but the other 99.999% of football players who ever lived live. Not with Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time. Every other coach is less perfect. Like Belichick is less imperfect than everyone else. That's why he always wins. Okay, so now Brady's dealing with that. But there's something else. And the other thing is that Tom Brady's a dink-and-dunk passer. He still has a strong enough arm. But when he tweeted at me, basically, look, am I falling off the cliff? I can still throw a ball 61 miles an hour. Yeah, dude, you can muscle it there. But can you put it with touch at that speed, right? Can you throw down the field? No, because he overthrows receivers. That's an older quarterback trying to put mustard on the ball to get it down the field, overthrowing receivers. That's how I perceive it, how I interpret it. So you have a guy who's increasingly dinking and dunking, getting fewer and fewer yards per attempt into a system with Bruce Arians where it's no risk it, no biscuit. Throw it down the field. How is that going to work? Not perfectly, and it hasn't worked perfectly. And as time went on, increasingly it looked more like a Tom Brady offense. So I'm sure there is some kind of stress there in that relationship. Arians has even said it. He wants it down the field more. And Brady really, he says, he sees it in practice. And Brady prefers dinking and dunking. Sure, there's some conflict there or some stress there. But really, in the larger scheme of things, a 7-4 team should have been about 7-4 right now. The kind of stress of the coach who wants it down the field versus the quarterback who wants to dink and dunk was predictable. But more than all of that, after week one loss against the Saints, what did Arians do? So like that stress is what people are talking about, but I think it's more than that. After week one against the Saints, their chief divisional rival, where there's COVID, no practice, they couldn't practice, and Tom Brady didn't have continuity, right? You heard Coach say that. But after week one, the Saints beat him. Bruce Arians blames Tom Brady publicly. It sends the message to the locker room, and it motivates Tom Brady. Then they beat the Panthers week two, right? They start getting on a roll. They're supposed to beat the Bears. Brady melts down mentally, along with his offensive line, right? He forgets how many downs there are at the end of the game. Arians covers for him. He doesn't publicly criticize him there, because Brady didn't need public criticism there. That would have been humiliating. Arians covered for him. He lied for him. And that's why I think Brady wouldn't tell the truth at the press conference. He never answered directly whether or not he knew how many downs there were, because he was covering for Coach, who had covered for him. That's good. You know how they responded to that? Beat the brakes off the Packers the following week. Then they lost to the Saints again. Arians criticized them again. Then they got healthy against, maybe it's just because they're playing the Panthers after losses sometimes, right? The Packers was a great win, but after the Saints losses, they played the Panthers. On the other hand, the Panthers don't have a winning record, but that's not like, it's not like they're the Jets. If you beat the Panthers, they're a real NFL team. And he got healthy against them again. So Arians pushed the criticism button. It worked after the week one loss. They won. He pushed the I'm going to cover for Tom Brady button. It worked after the loss to the Bears. They bounced back against the Pack. He pushed the criticism button again. It worked against the Panthers. And now they just lost to the Rams. And he's pushing the criticism button again. So far, Arians knows what buttons to push on Tom Brady. Now, they're playing the Chiefs coming up. Does that mean they beat the Chiefs? I don't think they beat the Chiefs, but I'll bet my money would be on the Bucs playing the Chiefs very competitively. I think they're going to be a very live underdog against Kansas City. And I think it will have something to do with how Arians is pushing Brady's buttons. That was straight talk. Roger, you need to see the straight talk.
Well, you can do the straight talk, but we're not going to do the what we're going to do
wireless
after right there because you talk
everything
so much.
For less, only at Walmart. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead. You were talking.
Well, now,
you keep talking.
Now
you talk so much,
I've
you can't do what we're going to do after.
888-SAY-ESPN. I'm going to take calls. How do you like that? I had something to say, Raj.
You did well. It was
That's
nice.
Right. So now move the screen so I can see it. Let me tell everyone how this is working. Raj is in L.A. because of COVID, and I'm in New York, right? And so We are over Zoom, and Raj has my rundown and what we've planned out over Zoom. I would do it on my phone. I have the phone right here for those on ESPN Plus, but I can't bring it too near the equipment or it starts to buzz. So I'm completely dependent on Raj for that stuff. And now we could do an NFL whip around, Raj, if you don't want to do calls. Absolutely. Let's do it.
No, we can do a car too, but I was thinking maybe we'll do the NFL whip around next time because there are so many good games and we can't get them all in 3.5 minutes. So now you get to filibuster and talk more and hear your own voice for a little while, and we get to sit around and, mm-hmm. and we'll do the whip around next time.
888-SAY-ESPN. I don't know. I thought first segment, we're talking about the Steelers and the Ravens, and we're talking about Bruce Arians and Tom Brady.
So I just got a text. Speaking of that game, I just got a text from Steve Mason because of DraftKings. So he's like, oh, no, what are we going to do? Because remember, we had the Thanksgiving Day DraftKings
all set up. Oh, damn. You know what? The Thanksgiving
and I had a
Day
great
DraftKings
set up.
Me too. They weren't charging enough. So, like, I had $1,000 left over to spend, and I couldn't spend it. I was like, no, I like this team like this. It was great. I was 1,000 under the cap, and I was going to beat you guys silly with my lineup.
Oh. Well, I had some key players from this Ravens-Steelers game, so now I'm going to have to adjust that, and we'll see what I can do. But I'm going to have to get someone else in there. But Steve Mason is freaking out right now and texting, wondering what we're going to do because he wants to root for the games and watch on Turkey Day, which we'll still have to do.
By the way, I noticed, and people, I'm going to get to the calls in a second, but I noticed, and Ryan Clark on First Take today took a shot at Turkey. Why, everyone's like, it's open season on, dissing Turkey.
It's on No Doubt. We have a question coming later.
I'm a big proponent of turkey.
Question.
I love it. Deep fried turkey. Oh, my God. You burn the house down trying to make it, but it's the best food ever.
No, the best way to make it, and I've done it the last couple of years, is a smoker. 8-hour process. You have a baster at the bottom and the juice is going to. That's the only way it's going to taste good. Other than that, it's trash. Turkey. Smoker.
First of all. Uh-huh. That is turkey slander, which I won't tolerate on this show. Secondly, you're going to put a smoked turkey over fried turkey?
Yeah. You see how healthy I am? I can't eat fried
turkey. You're a fried turkey. Jamie from Chicago, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, how are you?
What's going on, Jamie?
So I want to talk to you about the Clippers real quick because everybody keeps talking about their point guard situation.
Right.
Now, on draft night, I saw a lot of reports the Boston Celtics were looking to get
a lottery pick. All right, it's taking too long, Jay. All right, that's enough with Jamie. First of all, I was talking about football. Who could sit through that? Taking 5 years to get to the point, and we were talking about football. The Clippers, and all of a sudden he's talking about the Boston Celtics.
Max, the podcast.
All right, Max, let's get down to it. Let's go to tomorrow's action, a classic Thanksgiving matchup between Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys. 1 minute, go.
Dallas Cowboys going to win the game. Washington's pretty good up front defensively. And you know something? For as bad as the NFC East is, I may not call it the worst division of all time anymore simply because there's no New York Jets in the division. You know, like, they're actually NFL teams. Washington does certain things well. The Giants have been playing defense well. Dallas has been just beat the Vikings. Vikings just cleaned out the NFC North, but lost to the Cowboys. And the Eagles, for all their problems,
are capable of beating some NFL teams. I like the Cowboys here. I like the direction Mike McCarthy has the team going in. I noticed it first against the Eagles four weeks ago now. He had them ready to play, and they scored on that first drive. And even though they lost by two touchdowns, I said, wait a minute, McCarthy is coaching these guys up a little bit now. I can start to see it. And then against Pittsburgh, they almost beat Pittsburgh. That's an undefeated team. And then against the Vikings, they actually beat the Vikings, who were on a roll. Cowboys are better. They're going to win.
All right. Of course, in the game of Ravens and Steelers, we're hoping to see that tomorrow night. But you already talked about your feelings on that. So let's just stick to on the field, Ravens and Steelers.
Steelers are going to win the game. I think the Steelers are better. I think the Ravens would be very motivated, but given what just happened, I think the Steelers will have extra motivation. They're going to play with a chip on their shoulder, and the Ravens won't be at 100%. And considering the way both these teams are trending, I went back and forth on this pick because I think Steelers are better right now. But I thought, that's the kind of rivalry. If the Steelers beat them once, they won't sweep them. But now I believe they will sweep them. Not only are the Ravens not at full strength, but the Steelers have got to be ticked off. They got against the Titans. Remember when both teams were undefeated? Steelers had to switch around their bye. And now they get they're not playing on Thanksgiving. They're going to play on Sunday. They're going to be ticked off. And a ticked off Steelers team, which is a better team right now, is going to win the game.
All right, next one, Chiefs at Bucks. Ooh, Max, what if Brady loses three in a row?
No, I'm so tempted to take to say this is an upset alert. Because this is actually a good game. The Bucs have a very good defense. The Chiefs' defense has not been playing well. And Brady will be impossibly motivated. And by the way, you know what kind of receivers he has? It's not just that Gronk can catch a ball or Mike Evans can catch a ball. Look what they do after they catch the ball. Did you see that play Mike Evans made? It was unbelievable. You see, and by
he's
the
still
way,
dragging Gronk, him.
He's dragging him. Like I said, right now, there are defensive backs being dragged somewhere by Mike Evans. And Gronk is that kind of player, too. So, given the kind of guys they have on offense, given the level of their defense, given the way the Chiefs have played recently, which is not great, I would say upset alert, but I just think the Chiefs are too much. I think the Chiefs win an excellent tight game against the Bucks.
Should be highly rated. All right, now moving on to my favorite quarterback to watch right now, Justin Herbert and the Chargers versus another fun quarterback to watch, Josh Allen and the Bills.
Bills are better than the Chargers. Bills are going to win the game. They're at home and they're better. Now, Justin Herbert, I think, is already better than Josh Allen, and I think a lot of Josh Allen nowadays. Justin Herbert is a special talent. What really, the analogy I like that was used on, I want to say it was GetUp, was the comp for him may be Mahomes. The way, as soon as he touched the ball, it was like, damn. It's not just that this dude has that look like Tua or Burrow, right? Or Dak did in the beginning. Or Romo for that. Oh, he has that look of a winner, right? No. It's that when the ball comes out of his hand, you go, damn! Woo. That was pretty. Look what just happened to that. He is a special, special talent. But the Bills have too much. Their defense is too good. And Josh Allen is also quite good. The Bills are going to win that game at home.
Yeah. Speaking of that throw, our Warren Sharp, who will be coming on the next hour, had a video on his Twitter. I don't know if you saw that one. Ooh, Justin Herbert throwing in the end zone and Keenan Allen. All right, AFC South matchup, Titans and the Colts. Low-key good game, man.
Real good game and a real good matchup. I like the way Phillip Rivers is playing. When you look at this Colts team, you say they kind of have everything they need. They're maybe the most balanced team. Even when people were saying, remember a couple years ago, the Cowboys have the best roster. This is what people were saying 2 years ago. And I understood at the top, or maybe it was even heading into this season, in terms of top-shelf talent, the Cowboys may have had the most top-shelf talent players before the debacle of this season actually began. But when I looked at, in terms of who actually has the best roster, top to bottom, including depth, I like the Colts. The only issue was, I didn't believe in Phillip Rivers anymore. And of course, the lesson is always, just when you give up on a guy, no, you should have stayed patient. He's been excellent this year. The only thing they were missing was a quarterback. They have one now. I think the Colts win that game. It's an excellent matchup. Titans are a very good team. I like the way Rivers has been playing. I like the Colts at home.
You can also hear that game on ESPN Radio. All right, next game, an NFC North Classic, one of the oldest rivalries, Bears at Packers, Max.
Packers, next.
I hit the whistle.
I don't need any time on that one. month. Right. I mean, the Bears have a great deal. The Bears have so much talent on defense, but they have an issue with quarterback and more than that, offensive line.
All right, next game. Hey, some quarterbacks. Kyler Murray versus Cam. Cardinals at Patriots.
I like the Patriots in an upset here. Look, again, like, Cam was driving them down the field. Now, the drive stalled at the 24-yard line, but what were you thinking as you watched that game, Raj? Because I was thinking, here comes Cam and the Pats. That's what I was thinking. And it was a one-score game. And again, that was, you know, they keep playing quality teams and either beating them or nearly beating them. So who was it this last week? Hold on, now I'm blanking on the team that they just played.
They beat Baltimore.
They beat Baltimore already. It was a quality team, and I'm blanking completely.
Was it?
Why don't you look it up there? Well, no one's
looking. I forgot. The whistle.
Anyway, the point is they beat Miami. They beat the Raiders. They almost beat Seattle. They almost beat the Bills. They almost won last week. That tells me their quality is actually pretty good, and I like them in an upset at home again against Arizona.
All right. And the next game, the Saints at Broncos. Will we see Taysom Hill throw a little more of this game? Will we see it?
Remember when I said the thing about the Panthers, how a win
the Texans they lost to, by the way.
It was the Texans. The Texans are also like, and by the way, it wasn't just the Texans. That's Deshaun Watson. Like, that was the game. If you've been waiting for the real Deshaun Watson to show up, Deshaun Watson was excellent this past week. So, the way I said about the Giants, like, there's no Jets in the NFC East right now. Like, oh my God, that team just can't do anything, right? That's how I feel about the Panthers. I think they're, and I mentioned that earlier in the show. I feel the same way about the Broncos, especially if Drew Lock's there. I feel like a win over the Broncos is a win. That's like, you know, it's not just like, of course you can beat them. You sleep on the Broncos, they'll beat you. But the Saints are going to win this game. Obviously, you know, they have a quarterback who knows the offense, who can run, who can throw it and read well enough and read the defenses fast enough. And they have their defense looks fantastic against the Falcons.
They do. And that's the second game on ESPN Radio's double hitter. And the Saints are number 3 on your power rankings, by the way. Go ahead and sneak in a call, Max. Sneak in a quick one before we get out of here.
All right. I don't know how to pronounce this. Ciaran from South Carolina. How do you pronounce your name? He's gone. Cully from New York. You're on the Max Kellerman Show. Michael from Cincinnati, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, how's it going, bud?
What's up, Michael?
Hey, just 2 quick points, man, and then I'll hang up and listen to your call. I agree with you, the Bucs at 10-6. I'd say maybe 11-5. Yep. I don't see them beating Kansas City. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, Kansas City's just, it's Mahomes. They're too good.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I think the Bucs are also a very well-rounded team. Like, the Bucs can really play on both sides of the ball, and what they needed was a quarterback who didn't throw a lot of picks, and they got that in Tom Brady. But it's not a perfect matchup philosophically with a guy who wants you to throw it down the field and Tom Brady who prefers dinking and dunking, especially at this point in his career, right? For that reason, a 7-9 team, as I said, Nick Foles stays healthy with the Bucs, he's 9-7, right? You want to give Brady credit over that, make him 10-6, maybe 11-5, I think that's about right. And that's where they're headed, by the way. They're 7-4. Are people surprised?
Max, the podcast.
Yo, man, you hear Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey said an NFL team reached out to him about becoming a GM. Do you think Daryl Morey could be an NFL GM?
Well, Daryl Murray, maybe. I don't know Murray. That's what you've been saying. Oh. Daryl Morey, on the other hand, yeah, I think he could be a GM probably in the NFL, but I wouldn't recommend it. You know, like, he has expertise in basketball, and it may be folly to think that just because a guy is a very good general manager and really, I tell people that about, like, the radio talk or TV talk business. The subject is incidental, right? The subject matter. You're not peddling software. If you have the hardware, you can run any software program. So I think he probably could be an NFL GM. But he is very used to running that NBA software. And to switch that up and make that NFL all of a sudden, there are probably other GMs who are also very good at GMs who are much more used to running those programs and probably would be better at it than him.
And don't make fun of the way I pronounce my O's.
By the way,
next one.
I said no doubt, didn't I? Or did I not?
Yeah, no, okay, you didn't say it.
Well, I did say just then.
Here's the one everyone's been waiting for. Turkey is the most overrated Thanksgiving food, yo.
Nah, son. Watch your tongue. Listen, it's not Thanksgiving without turkey. And I know there's ham put out. Stop. Turkey is Thanksgiving, and turkey is an underrated food. It's become underrated. Yes, the side dishes, mac and cheese, sweet potatoes, whatever else. Yes, they are more flavorful and the stuffing and gravy, and I'm getting hungry. But the point is, yes, they're more flavorful than turkey. But it's not Thanksgiving if there's no turkey. It is the prerequisite. Even if you say, even if you say there are more important things than a strong arm for a quarterback, right? Like reading defenses quickly, it's more important. Their leadership's more important. But you can't be one if you can't make the throws down the field. That's the point. Turkey is essential. It's the most essential ingredient. And by the way, turkey, when done right, is delicious.
All right. I beg to differ on that. We don't have time. And speaking of not being able to throw downfield, someone will bring Cam in as a starter next season.
I'll tell you something else about a turkey leg. You want to feel like a British king? You take a big turkey leg in your thing, you eat it with the grease on your face.
Why don't you eat it any other time of year if it's so damn good?
I do. I eat turkey constantly. I eat turkey a lot.
Right. Cam. Someone will bring him in as a starter next season.
No doubt. Cam has shown he can be a very effective NFL quarterback. As I said, two plays away from a winning record with four quality wins and very nearly three, right? Houston's not such a great team, but they came very close, one play away from beating the Bills, one play away from beating the Seahawks, actually beat the Dolphins, actually beat the Raiders. The man is learning a new system, coming off a catastrophic injury, got COVID, the team couldn't practice in the facilities, and still they're a tough out. What do you want from this guy?
All right. And finally, man, college football ranking got it right, putting Notre Dame in front of Clemson in the playoff ranking.
Nah, son. Look, I don't want, well, to be fair, they actually won. Shut up. Look, here's how it is. Clemson, just like it used to be for Alabama in the old days, I'll believe someone's better when I see them lose the championship. Meantime, they played Notre Dame with their backup quarterback at Notre Dame and lost in overtime. Does anyone doubt if Trevor Lawrence was in the game, they'd have beaten Notre Dame? If the point of this ranking is to say who are the best teams, Clemson can't be lower than two. And I could even make the argument they should be one. They beat Miami easily. That's a top 10 team. Meanwhile, what's going on in Tampa with Brady and Arians? Coming up, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.